B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a General Knowledge Wednesday. That won't be General Knowledge Wednesday today. We're an abbreviated show today. It is the Mike Misnelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. And, this will kind of be a pre-game Sixers show. Talk a lot about the Sixers today because we have the Sixers against the Wizards today at 4 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. And this is what these bittersweet days, because I'd like to be on for 4 hours to talk to the people. But since we're only on 2 hours, it gives us a chance to go back home and relax and watch our two squads. The Sixers basketball and then flip it on to the Phillies, however much interest in the Phillies, with a doubleheader against the Yankees in a game where they might have an advantage. Two games they might have the advantage because they won't have to use their bullpen a lot. Two guys who can carry the mail for six, maybe even seven innings today. You might get a doubleheader sweep today. I don't know. Maybe not. But we do have, we've been talking about the Sixers and of course, the Flyers and we have those sports, and I don't know if we're taking them for granted. Should we feel guilty bitching about the Sixers when we actually have them to behold? Like we could be doing worse by not having the opportunity to watch the Sixers or the Flyers. Right now, we have no worry about the Flyers. We're very encouraged by the Flyers, and even though the Sixers are giving us agita, I guess it's a good thing to have the sport to watch. Am I right?
I think you're absolutely right, because I don't know if other sports are going to be as lucky. So I do feel kind of grateful that I get to watch an actual Sixers game at 4 o'clock.
All right, yeah. I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to rush right home, nestle in, and a little afternoon action. Maybe a nice cold, ice cold Corona. And watch sports.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. 4 o'clock.
I know.
Normally you cheat. You go, I get a short day. You should probably be doing something productive. I just feel like sitting, like plopping.
Well, it'll be a nice day to do that. And it's not often that, we get to enjoy those happy hour hours.
Exactly.
Right.
Happy hour hours, but we're shut in.
Yeah.
Even
well,
though it's happy hour hours.
Still make your own.
Right. All right. So let's talk about this, because I was thinking about this yesterday. The Ben Simmons thing is an ongoing topic that we stir around and around and around. And I heard Anthony, previous show, say he feels Ben will take a couple and even make a couple threes tonight because he's doing it against a bad team. And he'll feel more freedom to shoot it. That may or may not happen. Here's what I know. I don't think he's even going to shoot the ball next year. So this begs the bigger question, because I'm already on record. I want to get you guys on record today, listeners, on where is your breaking point with him? See, I look at this like he does not have enough progress on his shot this year, which leads me to believe that any progress he has to make next year will be sparing. And it's the year after that, if he's ever going to shoot it, is the year he's going to shoot it. So I am actually willing to go through next year with the same frustration by overcoming the frustration in my head, like convincing myself it's not going to happen. Therefore, I won't get disappointed. And then the following year, if it's still the same, I'm ready to cut out. And that's hard for me to say, Tyrone, because I love the guy. I think there's very few people in the history of this game at that size and that speed and that handle and get the ball up and down the floor and get to the basket. But if it's not going to happen in 2 years, it's not going to happen. And it would be one of the most frustrating things you're ever going to see in a basketball player. Everybody would be frustrated, not only Sixer fans. So how long are you willing to go with the non-shooting Ben?
I'm willing to go another year for this reason. I've been trying to be consistent when it comes to both Ben and Joel, that mm-hmm. I'm holding them to the Pippen Jordan standard.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, based on the Pippen Jordan standard, would be when they would have to make that jump. This year would actually be ahead of the Pippen Jordan and Shaq and Kobe as well. Both of those guys ended up winning together in that fourth mm-hmm. year together. They're only in their third year. So I'm willing to get through next year. It's the start of that following year. If he's still not doing it, now I'm at a position where, especially let's say Joel stays healthy in this scenario, in this imaginary scenario, mm-hmm. and Joel's staying relatively healthy, Ben is still not shooting. At that point, now I have to make a change. I have to, because now I have a player who has stayed healthy, who's a great player, who's now actually being held back mm-hmm. by a guy who won't shoot. Right now, I don't really think Joel is held back, because Joel has his own warts. But if it, another year and a half, at that point, Ben is now hurting my best player in Joel Embiid, mm-hmm. thus hurting the franchise, and at that point, I have to go. But I agree with you.
Yeah, I think this is such a deep-rooted problem that there's no way it's going to correct itself even next year.
And again, okay, you guys aren't Shaq and Kobe. You're not mm-hmm. Pippen and Jordan. But after that, if you still can't do it, for whatever reason, now I have to move you in. Maybe I won't get value back, but now I have to build my team around a guy who does a whole bunch of stuff, does more than he's supposed to because he's always trying to do something else in his bag versus a mm-hmm. guy who refuses to pull the darn driver out of his bag.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I can put it, listen, if he doesn't shoot next year, they're not going to win either. So I've got to count on, and this is a hard gulp you got to take, that if you're convinced that he's not going to shoot next year, you're not going to win yet either. So you almost have to bite off this year and the next year in order to get to the greatness that is untapped. And even then, you might not see it. And so basically, you're going to have maybe burn off 2 years before you actually get serious about winning a championship if he's not going to shoot. So it's a perplexing thing. And I know there are people that are knee-jerk people, and there are people like, I'm trying to look at this introspectively, and I go, I can't expect. This guy is so, shackled mentally by shooting a basketball that I can't expect it. It takes years of therapy to get people to get out of something, right? It's not a basketball issue. So, I can't expect this is a deep-rooted basketball mental issue. I can't expect that it's going to just disappear. So that's it. That's the way I feel. And I know there are people out there, if he doesn't shoot the ball at the end of this year, I'm done with him. I'm not even going to go into next year. Well, he's not going to shoot the ball for the rest of the year. It's not going to happen. So are you committed to not wanting him next year? You got to commit yourself for one more year. Whether you like it or not, you can't expect it to happen now. You got to expect that it'll happen next year.
Well, I want to present this to you. Now, Booney has been a pretty harsh Ben critic.
Yeah.
So I'm going to present this to you and let you respond.
Okay.
Mike. He says it's been 238 games. That's how many games he's played.
Yeah.
No more moving the goalpost. He's hurting the offense now or never.
That is the hardened Philadelphia sports fan look at it. And Booney is. Booney mm-hmm. is that. I got to look at it like, yeah, I feel the same way too, now or never. But I know it's not going to be now or never. See, I know that it's just not going to click. And the other side of it is he's got such breathtaking ability that I can't just give up on that part of it. I've got to extend it. I hear where Booney's coming from. I'm just not as harsh because I value so much the other side of it.
Right. Now, I will say this. If his defense has not been good so far, but neither has the rest of the mm-hmm. teams, they're going to get to the playoffs, obviously, we know. What I do need to see from him is, regardless of what position, and even if the coach is wrong about taking the ball away from him,
mm-hmm.
I need him to be better in the other phases of the game like he was before,
mm-hmm.
once the playoffs come. The only thing that can push me is, if you're not shooting, and you're 6'10", and now you're also not defending, and you're not doing things, now that might change. It wouldn't just be because of the shooting. Now, maybe you regressed as a player. Now, I don't think 2 games is not enough for me to say he's regressed. I do need to see some of that Ben Simmons defense at some point,
because mm-hmm.
he was arguably the best defender in the league, because he doesn't get the wiggle room because he doesn't make up for it enough on offense.
Yes, I totally agree. I get it. I don't know. It's like, let's look at tonight on what's going to happen, right? As far as we know, it's going to be the same starting lineup.
Yes.
Okay, so what I think will happen tonight is that there will be a transition going back to him at the one.
He'll have the ball more.
I don't think it'll start. They won't start it that way, but I think they by halftime and going into the second half, I think you'll see Ben as the one, and that will be the transition to future games. I do think they'll go back to Ben having the ball and maybe Shea coming off the bench.
All right, so you think at some point Horford's back in the starting lineup
or Thibel.
Or Thibel. Okay.
Yeah, either way he wants to do it. But I do believe that he will find out early enough tonight that he's going to try to transition it. Brett Brown is not one of these guys that gives up on things quickly because it's his idea, right?
Right.
So I think he'll just kind of like tiptoe into it and eventually make that transition. And in a game against Orlando, Ben is your one.
So that's Friday's game.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. In the meantime, how long are you willing to hold on to this? I am willing to hold on to it beyond next year. You may not think the same. 610-632-0975. Abbreviated show today. We'll be here till 4, but we'll stuff your phone calls in. And we'll be on TV for the first hour?
Yes.
All right, so only an hour on NBC Sports Philly today. You can catch the 2 hours on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 2:20 Mike Missinelli Show. A short show today, so we'll make it count. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. If you're an HVAC contractor, check out Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia for equipment, parts, supplies for every heating and cooling job. And now it's time to start today's Twitter poll. So you got to make this count in 2 hours. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, check out Paul B. Moyer & Sons. They have it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or by phone, and they have safe contactless pickup in their shop in Doylestown, PA. Natalie Eganoff, today's abbreviated Twitter poll.
Thanks, Mike. Over 100 votes on this one early, despite the win against the Spurs. The Sixers have not played well. Will they play better today? 39% say yes, 61% say no.
Okay.
All right. I mean, okay.
61.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. No expectations.
All right.
I think
no standards.
I do think they play a little bit better today.
Yeah.
I think they'll win it. What's the line on this game?
10.5.
Oh, man. 10.5?
Yeah, 10.5 point favorites. I actually think they win in cover.
I might imbibe this myself at 10.5.
Yeah, I think that they win in cover. But I can understand why people don't have that faith. But I do think they win in cover.
Now,
I think
now
they
there
play
have
better.
Been some upsets recently here.
Yes, just yesterday.
So it's hard to gauge.
Yes.
All right. 10.5. I may go Phillies winning a doubleheader first, though.
Yeah.
I may go Phillies winning 2 today.
Although that line has moved.
What is it
The
now?
Phillies open minus 110.
Uh-huh.
Now they're plus 110.
The Phillies are not the favorite in this game with
not
Wheeler
the first
going?
Game. Nope. The money has it has
against
moved.
Against J-Hap?
It has moved, yep. It was minus 110, and now it's
What
do
you got?
It was minus 130. They were underdogs. And now the Yankees are minus 115. Actually, has moved in the Phillies' direction.
Phillies' favor.
Yeah,
I like the Phillies
favor.
In this first game.
Yeah, in the first game. I don't see the second game posted just yet. The line's not up for the second
game. All right, let's go Ryan and Lumberton and start things off. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how are you today, Mike?
Come on, Ryan.
So I wanted to talk Flyers a little bit, but then I heard your Ben Simmons talk, and now I want to kind of weigh in on that.
Yeah, how long do you want to go with it?
I will give him another year because I believe that, as I said yesterday when I called, that next year will be with a different coach. And I think that Brett Brown is a big part of the problem as to why Ben hasn't been shooting. Maybe you disagree with that. I don't know. But I'm willing to give him a chance with another coach. But if there's no improvement after a whole season with a different coach, I got to move on from him. I'm not willing to give him two more years like you are. I'll give him one, but I won't give him
two. So you would trade him in the offseason after next year?
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think it's Brett that holds him back from shooting?
I don't think he holds him back, but I don't think he motivates him to want to shoot the ball anymore. I think that Brett Brown has had a real problem holding players accountable to their faults and their mistakes. And I think that's a big part of why the team has never gotten any better under him, because people, players do things wrong, they make mistakes, and because he's a nice guy.
Well, I got to break this down with you, because I'm interested in this whole conversation. Now, we know that he just does not want to shoot it, right? So because he's got control of it, right? He's the one on the court. If he wanted to shoot it, would shoot it. He doesn't want to shoot it. Now, why would that be the coach's problem? Like, what can the coach do that could force in his brain to shoot a basketball which he blanches against?
I get your point. It is the coach's concern, because the coach does have to do what he can to try to.
Hooking him up electronically, where he can push a button and make his arm move in his shooting position. There's nothing he can do.
No, I get your point. It's hard to come up with it. Other than, and I know you've always said that this is not really a viable idea, but. You could bench him for a game. You can't really do that now because, the games are too important. But he could have, at some point in the past, benched him for a game and said, you're not getting back in unless you're going to shoot the ball.
Uh-huh. And how do you think he would respond to that kind of spotlight? Because what you see, he responds the opposite way. When those his teammates jump up and down like he's done something special, like some kid who first made his first dookie, right? That embarrasses him worse. So now you're gonna put him on a griddle and have everybody ask the questions that why didn't he play? Well, we're trying to make an example of him because unless he shoots, he's going to be on the bench. Now, you do that to an NBA player? You can do that to a high school kid, maybe a college kid. You can't do that to an NBA player who's making coin.
You're right. It's why he is, as you always say, he is such an aggravating superstar.
Yeah, like Ben Simmons is going to take that and go, okay, coach, I see what you want now. I think it's wonderful that you embarrass me like that and put me on a griddle and made an example of me. Seriously? NBA players, you going to do that too, especially him?
That's how you get
fired.
He'll
spite your ass for the rest of his existence.
Right. That's how you lose your job. Like, it's very easy for someone else to be brave with someone else's job.
Right.
But if you pull that move and it doesn't work, you know what happens? You're fired.
Yes.
Because if you go there and he doesn't shoot, then what's your next? Sit him two games? Sit him five games?
There are three coaches that probably have the clout to pull something like that. Popovich is one of them.
Yeah, he's the main.
Carlisle probably is another guy who can do it. Maybe Doc Rivers can do it.
Maybe Spoelstra in Miami because he's won some.
All right. But that's about it.
Nick Nurse, and he's won a title.
I don't think Nick Nurse can do that in Toronto.
I'm going to sit Siakam because I said so.
Exactly.
He will be out of a job.
Let's go Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. I'm sort of looking forward to this doubleheader thing because of the novelty, but
7-8 quick games, boom boom boom. I like it.
Yeah We'll get some action.
It's a total bastardization of baseball, but like I said, in this pandemic anything goes.
Well it'll be nice for a variety, I guess. I'm just concerned Nola could get shelled. He doesn't have the velocity to miss his spots, and the Yankees seem to, they don't miss it. If he misses his spot and leaves the ball up and out over the plate.
He's got enough savvy. Like Arrieta hits spots against them and it flummoxed them a little bit. So you're right. He's got to be perfect. But Arrieta doesn't throw that hard either. He just had movement and he had spots that he was picked. And Nola can do that. It's just that he's not going to do that like every time out.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, last game, you know, he missed once or twice up over the plate, and I think both of them got crushed.
Yes. Yes, you're right. He's got very little margin for error.
Yep. Yep. Well, we'll hope that he can keep the ball down and outside.
Yeah. 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 But seven innings, so you eat up six, and then you get to Neris. Hey, what a seven-inning game here.
I'll tell you what, they got it lined up.
I hear you. All right, Greg, listen, who's the starting center fielder today? We have a lineup?
Quinn.
Oh, they went back to Quinny.
Yeah, I saw it earlier.
They don't trust Hazy Hayes. Purple Hayes, they don't trust him against the lefty.
Whatever. They can do what they want. I'll tell you what it is real fast. Well, this is weird, so I want to ask you this. McCutcheon to the left. Mm-hmm. Hoskins in the two holes still because he's getting on base. Mm-hmm. Harper, Realmuto, Segura, mm-hmm. Kingery, mm-hmm. Gosselin at third base today.
Ooh.
Yeah. Segura's playing short today.
So you have Didi a day off?
Yeah. Quinn in center. Yeah, Gosselin at third, Quinn in center. And then the DH, batting ninth, Garlic.
Kyle Garlic is the right-handed DH. See, this is what I say. Their pickings are slim with the right-handed bat.
Well, how do you build your roster like that to where you don't have a righty bat? Your DH can't bat ninth.
Well, I tell you that was a problem from the start. They didn't have a right-handed DH. That's why Bohm had to be on that roster.
Well,
so maybe when they call him up, he'll be the right-handed DH.
Well, I can't have Garlic in my DH in the nine hole against this Yankees team. They score. I can't assume my pitcher's going to be good.
Why is Didi Gregorius out of the lineup?
I don't know. Why does he
need a rest?
I don't know. He's played four games, and he had an eight-day rest.
That doesn't make any sense. Come on, Joe. 57 games here. Let's go, Josh and Manny on. Josh, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh.
Mike, always enjoy listening to you. I got to be honest with you. So we got Ben Simmons at 238 games and 3-3s, right? Okay, so the breaking point is we got another 14 games maybe left of the season. It puts us over close to about 264 and another 82. Mm-hmm. He's got Chuck Davis with disease. I mean, I would trade him right now, whatever I can get for him. Like, whatever I can get for him, because I don't see it changing. I think if people want to talk about Brett Brown, like, is like Godfather. If you're not going to do that for someone that you grew up with and, you know, I have a relationship outside of basketball with, what makes you think you're going to do it for another coach?
I don't know. I'm just telling you how long I'm willing to go with it. I'm not going to give up on the dynamic talent that he has and cut off my nose and spite my face. I'm going to play this whole thing out.
I don't know, Mike. I mean,
listen, are you going to be any better? I don't know. What is his value at this point? I just got an email. The guy goes, you should have traded him for Brandon Ingram and Drew Holiday, and you would have been a better team. Really? You think you would have been a better team with Drew Holiday and Brandon Ingram?
Yes.
Yeah?
You have a true point guard, and you actually have a shooting shooter in Brandon Ingram who shoots from three, and you've got him beat inside and spreads the floor. You got five guys on the floor that are willing to shoot. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that move.
Yeah, I don't. You're discounting that neither of those guys can be as dynamic a star as Ben Simmons. And Drew Holiday is he's in his 30s now. So that's not helping your squad.
Well, giving up, they would give 29 points to TJ Warren the other night.
That was a rare bad defensive game for him.
Mike, what was his overall?
You act like he's done nothing. He's established himself as maybe like one of the top three defensive players in the league, and there are things that he can do at that size and speed that nobody else in the league can do. So you're not focused enough on that.
He's a track star. He's 6'10", and when he gets
the upper, you went the other way. You're willing to open your head on what he does do. You're letting your frustration take over.
Mike, at some point, you've got to shoot the basketball.
I'm kidding. You're preaching to the choir. What have I said? I'm saying to you that I'm not willing to give up on that yet. You are. And I think you're doing it for spite because you're irritated and you're aggravated and you're overreacting.
Mike, it's been 3 years, okay?
It has to go a little longer. For I understand why you would feel that way. I think You need to sit down, have a cream soda, and reevaluate, get past your anger of Ben, and realize what you're doing here. Because you're doing it out of frustration. It's never good to move a guy out of frustration. Because you're shirking the good stuff that he does. And you're not willing to accept the good stuff that he does. Let's go, Kevin in Delaware. What's up, Kevin?
Mike, how you doing, Mike?
What's up, Kevin?
I'm going to talk about Brent Brown. I'm not going to hold anything back, and I'm going to keep it clean. Brent Brown talks defense, and he puts Nettle and Courtmont on the court at the same time. I think there's something off the court wrong with Brent Brown. I think he's burnt out. I know we made the playoffs the last two or three years, but I think Brent Brown is burnt out from all that losing. And I think his coaching is somewhere in between the Twilight Zone and the Outer Limits.
Oh, listen, I don't know he's burned out. It'll be telling what's going to happen here. That's why I'm not judging him right now. He will be judged by the circumstances of what this season turns out to be, and he won't be here next year. So you'll probably get your wish because the Sixers aren't going to win the East.
Right.
So there you go. So you're going to get your wish. You just got to hold on a little more. In the meantime, just hope that they can do something else.
All right, Mike.
All right, Kevin.
That's it. Thanks.
You got it, buddy. I love Kevin's call because he over-mics me, first of all. and he always goes, Brent Brown and Courtmont in every...
he just can't seem to get it.
He's a Brent Brown man.
Brent Brown.
He goes Brent Brown and he goes Courtmont.
I feel like a lot of the times, especially in this city, once you hear the name and you hear it a certain way, getting it correct is never going to happen because you're just so resolved to the fact that it is what it is.
Yeah.
And your brain just like tricks you and you can't.
Uh-huh. Like Hershey Hawkins.
Yes.
Like the good thing that sports talk radio wasn't big during his week. It'd be every day. Did you see Hershey make those threes last night? Barkley Hershey's a good player.
It is because Hershey is unnatural.
Right.
Right.
We've heard Hershey our whole life.
Yeah. Right.
So he was Hershey the whole time.
Exactly. Now, well, let me ask you a question on this Phillies matchup tonight because the only reason I can think of that the Gregorius might be going to line up, and this is of course overthinking it,
playing the second game.
It's 14 innings. You know? I mean, right. My God, he can play 14 innings.
Yeah,
half is a left-hander. The only thing I can think of is that Girardi's looking at numbers, and Gregorius doesn't have good numbers against Hap.
Probably
that's the only thing I can think of. But see, that's overthinking it because then you're not putting your best lineup on the field.
Right. And
Gregorius is the only guy really that's delivered.
Yeah.
Right.
Him and Jetpacks.
Yes.
They've been only guys that, and I understand you don't want to play Jetpacks against the lefty. Like I get it. Jetpacks hasn't earned that. I mean, Hazley hasn't earned it yet.
Yeah.
All right, I get it.
Here we go. Philly batters versus Hap. Goslin's in the lineup tonight?
Yeah, he's playing third.
333 against.
There it is.
Didi, there it is. Didi hits 100 against him.
Okay.
20 at bats.
That's a decent
set. Two hits. Size.
Yeah, two for 20
against him.
I guess that's enough.
Segura's at 800 against him. All right,
he's playing shortstop.
Okay, again, that's overthinking it, but I get it. See, Girardi was supposed to be a guy that, like, you just don't look at that in a 57-game schedule and go, you know, play your best lineup and stop fiddle around with this matchup stuff.
Yeah, and I still trust him.
Gregorius is due to hit this guy.
Right, and if you want to give him a blow from the field for some reason, then DH him and bat him ninth instead of, let me have Garlic. I'd rather take my chances with Didi running into one because he has some pop.
Yeah.
Then Garlic.
Garlic has never had that bad against him.
Yeah,
nor has Roman Quinn. They're stacking the righties. Jay Happ has that tuck the baseball behind his back, hard to pick up situation.
Yeah, and Bryce has to play every day no matter what, so you leave that left.
You got one lefty in the lineup.
Yeah.
All right, let's go Luke in Brooklyn. Luke, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Luke.
Mike, how you doing, man?
What's up, Luke?
Nothing. Just living my quarantine dream, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Another day.
I hear you.
So I'd like to go into the mind of Ben Simmons a little more with you. I know you talked about it on this show. This is what I think, Mike. I'm right where you and Tyrone are, where I'm at the point where I think the Sixers may need to move on from Ben if he isn't shooting by next year. But here's what I think is going to happen. I think that, you know, the reason we're going to move on from Ben is because he's not shooting. It's not because of anything else in his game, not for really any other reason other than that.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, that's the first time that Ben has been rejected from a team in his whole life because of his basketball game, because mm-hmm. of the shooting issue, which has become something that I think is embarrassing to him.
Right.
And, you know, what I honestly think will happen is that eventually the Sixers will move on from Ben. I don't know how that happens, trade, whatever. And he gets to the other team, starts playing with them, and I think he's going to start shooting.
With another team?
I think that, yeah, because I think, you know, Brett Brown talking to the media and saying that, you know, he needs to shoot. You know, that's one thing because he's the coach. You know, Brett has a certain credibility within the city. Coaches get replaced all the time. Maybe that's something that doesn't matter to Ben as much. But when he's basically moved out of the city of Philly where he was drafted, where it'll be national news him getting traded because of the shooting,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a level of humiliation that will change a guy like Ben. And I think he'll shoot. And I think it's the worst-case scenario, but that's honestly what I think.
Listen, I have no idea what's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to take to get past the mental block of shooting the basketball. I don't think humiliation does it for this kid. In fact, I think he goes the opposite way with humiliation.
Yeah, well, that's, you know what, that's really sad because
I think if his damn teammates would stop making a fuss when he shoots a three and makes a three, that would be a helpful step. These guys can't figure it out, though.
No,
they make it worse because as soon as they do that, he goes back into his shell and goes, all right, I see the way these guys react. Now I'm going to avoid it totally. That's what I think happens.
And you know what I would just say to that is,
well, see, it's the whole league that knows it though. So whatever team he goes with, they know it. I mean, Jaylen Brown and Boston's mocking him this year, saying we were calling a guy on our team who doesn't shoot Ben Simmons. You know, the whole league knows it,
right? But we know he's working on it, right? I mean,
What's working on it mean? Well, he's not working on it unless he's taking it in the game. That's working on it. I can sit there and shoot 100 shots in the gym. That's not working on it, is it?
I agree with you. No, I really, really do. I'm just thinking that I just wouldn't be surprised if that would happen. And then all, you know, like I know it's not the Lakers he would trade it to, but some team like that where he goes to where he wants to go or whatever.
I don't care about his welfare beyond Philly, be honest with you. So if he goes and learns to shoot, hey, I salute. But, you know, I'm not worried. I don't care about what happens to him personally, right?
Yeah.
I care about how he's going to influence this team to win.
Exactly. Brett Brown is considering, according to Keith Pompey, reducing his rotation down to 9 today.
Interesting.
Now, with the playoffs in mind, now here's the thing, though. Based on the minutes he's been passing out, because Scott is still out with his knee still bothering him,
mm-hmm.
and Robinson III, who we had in the rotation, is doubtful still with that hip.
Mm-hmm.
If you base it on the minutes, that would mean that Neto still plays and Burks doesn't, because that's the guy who played the least amount of minutes last game. So if he goes the 9, does that mean no Neto, or does that mean no Burks? Because it should be a no-brainer, but based on the first two games.
I'm going to jump out on a limb here and say he's smart enough to go, it can't be Neto, and we must play Burks.
Okay.
I'm going to give him at least that benefit of the doubt.
So that'll be Horford.
Because any idiot could look at that situation and say, I'm going to get more out of this guy than that guy.
So Horford, Thibel, Korkmaz, Burks.
Yeah.
Okay. With the starting five.
Yeah, because
apparently he's not changing the five yet. No one has that he's changing the five yet.
If he got Burks, it'll be interesting if Burks gets in the game before number 30.
Yeah.
I can't even call him by his name anymore.
I know.
I'm going 30 from now on.
Okay.
610-632-0975 back after this. 3-minute break.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Oh yeah, it's 2:46. Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll get back to the phones in a second. I was watching a great documentary last night on Showtime.
Oh,
have you seen the Go-Go's documentary?
No.
Oh yeah, you got to see it. It's really good.
Oh, that sounds right up my alley.
Yes, and how they got together and how they had to zip a couple members and how one of them was a heroin addict.
Oh wow! Wait, I think I remember hearing about that.
It's pretty good. It's on now, Showtime.
Okay, I'll have to check it out. I love music.
It's like
those,
they were like the three girls that started it were punks. Like Belinda Carlisle was a total punk.
I know, she was pretty cool.
And Jane Wheedlin, they started out by going to these punk bands, seeing these punk bands in L.A., the L.A. punk scene.
Yeah, in like the late 70s.
Yeah, and they started out as like they were a punk band, rock band.
I know, that's pretty awesome.
And then she wrote, which one of them wrote We Got the Beat? The heroin addict, the guitar player. What was her name? Charlotte somebody.
Charlotte Caffey?
Yes.
Caffey, yeah.
Yeah. Charlotte Caffey. Right?
Yeah.
We got the beat. And there was the other girl that formed, that played bass, didn't like the direction they were going in because it was too pop.
Right. Because so they went mainstream.
So she started bitching and moaning all the time, and they wound up zipping her.
Oh, I'm definitely going to have to check out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Belinda Carlisle had different stages. Like, she was not like really hot at when they first started.
Right.
And then she got hot.
Yeah.
And now you look at her, she's interviewed a lot now. She did something to her mouth.
Oh, what, she got her lips done?
I don't know what it is. It looks like a whole new mouth.
Let me see. I mean, she probably got her lips done, and sometimes you got to be careful.
Her lips and her teeth, it looks like.
Yeah, that's tough.
It changed her whole mouth structure.
Sometimes they get them too big.
Yeah.
That's why you got to pay top dollar. That's why I got to get some cash. Because they say when you cheap out, it ends up looking like that. You got to spend when you get them capped like that.
I mean, she definitely has had a lot of work done.
Yeah.
She looks okay. She was still beautiful, though.
She was a beautiful. And like perfect California name, too.
Oh, Belinda Carlisle.
Belinda Carlisle. It's like the California name, isn't it?
Yeah, and heaven is a place on earth.
Yeah, it's
iconic.
A really good story. The way they wrote songs, they all wrote their own stuff, played their own stuff. And when they first started, none of them really knew how to play instruments that well.
Man, that's not
evolved,
that uncommon.
They evolved
right?
into a really Kiss good couldn't band. Either. Not that you can make the argument they never did, but Kiss had no clue. That's why they did all the dressing up, because they couldn't play.
Yeah.
So then when they would go out to the clubs to try to practice, basically, they were doing practice in front of people in costume. They couldn't play their songs.
The drummer is this feisty little, and I'm listening to her accent. I'm going, she sounds like everybody I heard speak in The Wire.
Oh, really?
Baltimore?
And then they find out she's from Baltimore.
Oh, well, there you go.
Like a distinct accent.
Yeah. That Baltimore accent is one that's underrated.
It is.
It's a distinct
She just drove from Baltimore. She was the drummer. She drove from Baltimore to L.A. and met up with these girls. And then they fired their drummer and they hired this guy. The way they put it together was amazing.
Wow.
In my past,
they became really successful. They were wildly successful.
In my past life, that sounds like the dream.
Yeah.
Are you a Go-Go's fan? I mean, I like them. I mean, they were before my time, but I definitely have an appreciation for them. And like the punk, you know, the late 70s, like punk movement. So,
well, I bought that album. Beauty and the Beat was their first album, I think.
Yeah.
All right, let's go Jeff and Kenneth Square. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Yo, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Jeff?
Hey, I think I might need to check out that Go-Go's documentary.
Oh, yeah, it's on Showtime right now. Check it out.
Yeah. Before I get into my Ben Simmons thing, Belinda Carlisle apparently was like the initial drummer, or maybe did like one show or practice with the Germs. Have you ever heard of the Germs?
No.
Pat Smear went on to play with Nirvana. Dude, you need to
check out. Oh, really? Pat Smear was in that? Yeah, no, she didn't play an instrument, Belinda. She was just a singer.
Yeah, but I think she auditioned or played drums
really?
For a brief period with the Germs.
Okay.
They were so hooked on heroin that she bailed.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so I'll tell you, I don't know if it's the COVID situation or not, but my patience, I find, is wearing thin. And this is where I'm at with Ben. First off, I think people are generally crazy to jump ship so quick. I mean, right now, even without the shooting, he's borderline top 10 NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Even without the shooting,
yeah.
He does so much.
Yeah.
And I don't need him to be Damian Lillard out there raining threes. What I need him to be is Jason Kidd. I need him to evolve into that. But the shooting is not what frustrates me the most. I'm generally with you. I'm willing to give him another year or two, and I'm not going to dump him unless I get legit value. What frustrates me is the lackadaisical play, the careless turnovers, the defense. And I know it was a one-off thing with C.J. Warren, but, dude, you need to lock down C.J., get in his grill, smack him around there. That's an embarrassment.
Yeah, he has not had two good defensive games. So those two were lackluster, not used to seeing that from him. Now, the only thing I think of, it's unnatural for him to be moved out of that spot. I don't know why that would affect his defense, but sometimes it's a mindset that you're not comfortable on the floor, and so you're not fully engaged. That's why I think they got to go back now.
Yeah, I agree fully with you, and that's where, I mean, I backed Brett Brown.
He's got to be more than Jason Kidd, bro. Here's the thing. Jason Kidd didn't have his ability to beat somebody off the dribble. When you have the ability to beat somebody off the dribble, you see how Tobias Harris does it? He beats somebody off the dribble. He's got enough space to rise up, make a jumper. That's what he has every time down the floor. He's got the ability to transport the ball to an open space to get off a medium range jump shot, just like Tobias Harris does. That's what he's got to learn to do. And then the three-point shot, yeah. I understand what you're making, the point that Jason Kidd learned to shoot it after a while. Yeah, that'll be fine. But he's got so much more ability with his legs and his handle to be offensive. Jason Kidd couldn't do that. He couldn't be able to have to dribble and get to a spot and make a short jumper.
Yeah. Dude, I'm with you on that. And, I mean, the other thing that drives me with Ben is you break somebody down the dribble, you get into the lane, take that thing hard to the rack and draw the foul. How many? And I saw it against San Antonio. He gets under the rim. And
that's what I'm saying. It's an either or with his ability. If you're going to back off him, then okay, I got an open spot to rise up, bang. If they then have to prevent you from doing that, then you get to the basket. It's really fundamentally simple. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have one more hour of this program. On the radio, on TV. Stay tuned for your Phillies pregame show. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.